Dave, let's hear about what's going on at Armstrong.
At Armstrong, you know, our intention is to help push industry to get to the next generation of super efficient subsonic transport. Most of the transports that we all fly in today are really ancestors of the old 707, the first tube and wing jet aircraft, and everything from that 707 to today's 787 and 777s and Airbus 380s, they're all just evolutionary growth of the original 707. From the video, you saw a lot of different shapes. Our goal is to take those shapes, get industry and the traveling public and the military comfortable with those shapes, and also to validate the efficiencies that come along with those. I think we can see, or the wind tunnel test and the system study so far show that those new shapes will save on the order of 50 to 70% in reduction in fuel burn and in emissions reductions to the atmosphere, hopefully be a more comfortable ride. But we've got to get those and fly them and help industry and ultimately the customers buy down that risk and get comfortable with the concept of flying with something that looks different than an old 707 that's grown.
Yeah, thank you. And Janet, at Glenn, doing a lot, particularly with new propulsion concepts and so on, so tell us more.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Glenn's had a long history of power and propulsion, and we're going to the next phase now where many of you may be driving hybrid cars, hybrid electric, or even all electric cars. We're starting to look at that for aircraft as well. So we're starting to look at hybrid electric designs and even all electric designs. So that the all electric plane is out there a ways into the future, but the hybrid electric design is a concept that we're currently looking at, and we might consider that to be one of the next X planes. And so that would involve having a combination of gas powered turbines in combination with an electrically powered turbine in the after end of the aircraft, or many of these other designs that you just saw in that video. So we haven't nailed one down just yet, but we are thinking about all the different ways we could do that.
Thank you, Janet. Dave, talk about Langley's work.
Yeah, so it really starts kind of at the conceptual design level. We do a lot working with industry, both large and small, and universities, looking at the advanced designs and then moving on to the analysis and tests, both subscale models and wind tunnels and things like that, the aerodynamic performance, how these planes are going to perform, and also sometimes the structures and materials. As you saw in the video, some of these planes look different than a normal tube and wing, and so some of the structural design methods and materials that worked for more of a tube and wing concept might not apply quite so well for some of these advanced designs. So we do structural ground test articles as well. So use a lot of our test facilities, and some of these concepts we've been working on literally for decades. I know I worked aeronautics personally back in the 90s, when we first started looking at blended wing body concepts, and so it's really, really exciting to see this taking it to the next step to start flying these things. As Dave said, that's kind of how you build that industry confidence, and so I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, great. So hopefully most of you folks know we've got, you know, we actually have 10 NASA centers across the country in various locations. The four that are represented here, as I said, are focused primarily on where we focus our aeronautics research work. Of course, then we've got other centers that focus more on space flight particularly. So we've talked a lot about what we're doing, and this is one area where we have a lot of overlap with other industries, whether it's in power or batteries that are kind of important green technologies and advanced power technologies for a lot of applications. I know, Tom, out in Ames, you guys have a pretty broad network, being out in Silicon Valley. Can you say more about partnership with other particularly
sure.
In this area?
Well, and there's this little company called Tesla up the road from us that we've taken great interest in the battery technology they've been developing. One of the challenges is that while a battery might work really well for a car, the requirements are much more stringent for aircraft. And there are two key parameters that aerospace engineers look at when they're evaluating a battery: the energy density and the power density. So the energy is how long can you fly for a given pound of battery, and power is how much power do you get out of it for each pound. And so those are really the driving metrics, and we're nowhere near where we need to be with the current battery technology to produce viable large electric aircraft. But we're starting to look at new batteries that in partnership with the Silicon Valley companies Lithium air is a very promising technology, but at a very low level of development. And so we're literally using a field called computational chemistry to understand how the fuel, the anodes and cathodes work in a lithium air battery so that we might be able to make a feasible one for aviation. And then a little more familiarly, we look at battery life. We've been doing this for years using these great Silicon Valley buzzwords of deep learning and machine intelligence to understand the mechanisms that a battery uses to produce voltage, and with very high accuracy predict the end of life of a battery. And the benefit of that is that we can operate the battery in an aircraft much longer than when we didn't understand that, had to be very conservative back then. But now we have a keen understanding of how much life the battery has left in it, and so we can operate it closer to that point and get a lot more flying time out of it.
Yeah, great. And I'm sure anybody that's involved in general aviation can appreciate the challenge of energy storage and what that means in terms of, you know, just weight. And what we're doing is we're going ahead and pushing forward on all the technologies for ultra-efficient transportation, and the battery technology will mature. In the meantime, we're starting to test the other technologies. And out at Armstrong, it's been our flight test center for decades. Many people remember that as Edwards Flight Center. So Dave, can you talk a little bit more what we're doing in this area, or just in general about the exciting, you know, crop of X-planes we have coming up?
Yeah, the next X airplane coming up is the X-57. Was in the video. It's the all-electric aircraft based on a Technum P2006. And, you know, talking about partners, we partner with small companies like Technum in Italy with the airframe, with Joby Aerospace, doing the integration of the electrical system on that, and with Scale Composites. They'll be up after us in the next hour, and they're doing the final assembly for us. Obviously, we also partner with the big players like Aurora Flight Sciences, has this double bubble model here next to us, and Boeing, Lockheed, Northrop, working with all the big players in teaming with them to get the vehicles to flight. NASA doesn't build our own airplanes. We've always worked with industry to help push our technology to flight faster using our industry partners. So at Armstrong, our goal is to integrate the work done by mostly the four NASA Aero Centers, our industry partners, and get that technology in flight and validate it in a real relevant environment of flight. One of the things we do is scale things to a practical production sense, if you will. EAA is a great organization in that you guys, this organization, as far as innovation goes, has always been on the leading edge of using new technology, composites, avionics, and being out there in front. With industry in big transports, there's always a big risk and a big buy-in, and technology doesn't always scale as nicely as it does from GA and small aircraft to transport-size aircraft. But NASA's role is to help take that technology and expand it so that we can get it out to benefit the public and the United States industrial base.
Great. So, hey, before we close this topic, why don't we, one of the things I would be asking if I was sitting out here is, this sounds like a lot of promising stuff that NASA's working very hard to deliver, but kind of what do you see as the major impact to this community? Well, we'll get this kind of technology matured. How do you expect that to impact general aviation specifically?
One of the major things would be, you know, savings in your fuel costs, right? So a lot of you spend a lot of money on fuel for your aircraft. And when we get some of these hybrid electric designs or all electric designs, it would be much like plugging your car in at night if you have an electric car. So hopefully the long range goal will be able to make aviation more affordable. And when we talk about communications more effective as well.
Also improving safety. NASA has been involved in the AGAT program in getting technology out to the GA community, whether it be displays, communications, waste interface with the FAA, with air traffic control. NASA's had the lead on that. We've also developed an automatic ground collision avoidance system, which we have installed in all Air Force F-16s now. And that technology is available to the GA community, and not in a full takeover capability like a full authority F-16, but in a way that can get a system into your airplane to help you in bad weather or in opportune times to warn you or give you guidance on how to maneuver through terrain.
Yeah, the only thing I guess I would add, especially for a community like this, is it's opening up that kind of design space. So looking at new shapes, looking at new propulsion systems, combining the two. X-57 is a great example of that. You know, we've taken a much smaller chord length wing, put a lot of small engines across it, just opens up a lot of interesting design space, and then we're going to start flying that. So I think for this kind of community, just open up the design space of new things, and that's what y'all do as well. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, that's a great point, Dave, because one thing we've seen in history is that our EAA members have been the first early adopters, yep, and experimenters, innovators with a lot of technology, even before it reaches the certificated world. So we consider you guys partners in our innovation space.
Absolutely.